Good morning. When Daniel 4, I did not have the best voice week, so I actually sound good, don't I? A little different, but Daniel 4, let's pray together as we begin. Thank you, Lord, again for a chance to gather together as your children. Thank you, Lord, for cleansing us, oh God. Thank you so much for serving us, Lord. Thank you so much, Lord, for showing us who you are and showing us the truth and drawing us closer to yourself, Lord. Oh, we do thank you so much for leading us in your ways. Lord, we continue to trust in you. Lord, for guidance, for direction, Lord, we want to pray that our hearts may continue adoring you, O God. Pray that you may continue drawing people to yourself. Pray that you may continue teaching us, O Lord. Lord, I ask that we may, as we lead this life that you've given us, we may reflect you, O God, that we may be humble. Lord, teach us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Chapter 4 is one disastrous chapter in the life of Nebuchadnezzar, as we see that his pride is humiliated. It's really pride and humility here. It is unfortunate that he would boast about who he is and his achievements. And the man who actually had decreed that only God, the one true God, has to be worshipped, gives himself to what we would call self-worship, self-exaltation. And no doubt he drops to his lowest. Let's read together. Nebuchadnezzar the king, to all peoples, nations, languages that dwell on the earth, and all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I thought it'd be good to declare signs and wonders that the Most High God has worked for me. How great his signs are his signs, and bow rather than how mighty his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in my house and flourishing in my palace. Please take a note of that, flourishing in my palace. I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts in my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. Therefore, I issued a decree to bring all the wise men of Babylon before me that they might make known to me the interpretation of the dream. Then the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, the soothsayers came in, and I told them the dream, but they did not make known to me its interpretation. But at last Daniel came before me. His name is Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God. In him is the spirit of the living God. And I told the dream before him, saying, Belteshazzar, chief of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy God is in you, no sacred troubles, you explain to me the visions of my dream that I have seen an interpretation. These are the visions that came to my head while on my bed. I was looking, and behold, a tree in the midst of the earth, and its height was great. The tree grew and became strong. Its height reached to the heavens. It could be seen to the ends of all the earth. Its leaves lovely, its fruit abundant, and in it was food for all. The beasts of the field found shelter in it. The birds of the heavens dwelt in its branches, and all flesh was fed from it. I saw in the visions of my head, while on my bed, there was a watcher, a holy one, coming down from heaven, cried out loud, saying, thus, chop the tree and cut off its branches, strip off its leaves and scatter its fruit. Let the beast get out from under it and the birds from its branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump and roots in the earth, bound with a band of iron and bronze. In the tender grass of the field, let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let him graze with the beasts on the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from that of a man. Let him be given the heart of a beast, and let seven times pass over him. This decision is by the decree of the watchers, and the sentence by the word of the holy ones, in order that the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, gives it to whomever he will, and sets over it the lowest of men. This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now Belteshazzar declare its interpretation. Since all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known to me the interpretation, but you are able, for the spirit of the holy God is in you. Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonished for a time. His thoughts troubled him. So the king spoke and said, Belteshazzar, do not let the dream or its interpretation trouble you. Belteshazzar answered and said, my lord, may the dream concern those who hate you, and its interpretation concerned your enemies. The tree that you saw, which grew and became strong, whose height reached to the heavens, and which could be seen by all the earth, whose leaves were lovely, its fruit abundant, in which was food for all, under which the beasts of the field dwelt, and in whose branches the birds of the heaven had their home, it is you, O King, who have grown and become strong, for your greatness has grown and reaches to the heavens, and your dominion to the end of the earth. And inasmuch as the king saw the watcher, Holy One, coming down from heaven and saying, chop down the tree and destroy it, but leave its stump and roots in the earth, bound with a band of iron and bronze, in the tender grass of the field, let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let him graze with the beasts of the field till seven times pass over you. This is the interpretation. O King, this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my Lord the King. They shall drive you from men. Your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make you eat grass like oxen. They shall wet you with the dew of heaven, and seven times will pass over you, till you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, and gives it to whomever he chooses. And as much as they gave the command to leave the stump and the roots of the tree, your kingdom shall be assured to you after you have come to know that heaven rules. Therefore, O King, let my advice be acceptable to you. Break off your sins by being righteous, and your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor. Perhaps there may be lengthening of your prosperity. All this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of the 12th month, he was walking about the royal palace of Babylon, and the king spoke, saying, is not this great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power and the honor of my majesty? While the word was still in the king's mouth, a voice fell from heaven. King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom has departed from you, and they shall drive you from men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make you grass like oxen, and seven times shall pass over you, until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, and gives it to whomever he chooses. That very hour the word was fulfilled concerning Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from men and ate grass like oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hair had grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. And at the end of the time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven, and my understanding returned to me, and I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him, who lives forever, for his dominion is an everlasting dominion. His kingdom is from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. No one can restrain his hand or say to him, what have you done? At the same time, my reason returned to me. And for the glory of my kingdom, my honor and my splendor returned to me. My counselors and nobles resorted to me. I was restored to my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added to me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways justice, and those who walk in pride he is able to put down. From the very beginning of the story, in chapter 4, verse 1, looks like Nebuchadnezzar was simply impressed by all the experiences he has had with God through these men, through Daniel and through the other Hebrew boys, the Hebrew men. Not impressed enough to actually bow down before the one true God. He still was stubborn to want to demonstrate that he's powerful and in control. He has another vision, another dream. He does not call Daniel first. Did you notice? He's thinking, looks like this Daniel always has bad news for me. Let me still consult my astrologers and magicians and sorcerers and witch doctors. They have no clue what the interpretation was. And this time he actually tells them the dream. Initially he asked them, please tell me the dream and the interpretation. But this time he makes it easy for them. Just tell me the interpretation, and none of them could. And then he goes to Daniel. Please bring Daniel. These guys have failed. And Daniel is faithful to come, and he sees this vision and interprets the dream to him. The tree is noted for its size, its splendor, prominence, beauty, fruit, and shelter. The watcher, presumably an angel, explains the fate of the tree. And the tree is a person. The tree is to be chopped down. And it's going to lose its influence, its size, its splendor, its beauty, prominence, its fruit, and its shelter to all, the birds and the beasts. Daniel explains to him that the tree represents a man whose heart is going to be changed from that of a man to that of a beast, and whose kingdom is going to be given to somebody else until 7 seasons has passed, 7 years. Nebuchadnezzar asks Daniel for the interpretation. As much as this dream troubled Nebuchadnezzar, it troubled Daniel. Can you imagine if that was you before a ruler, president, and you have to tell him his fate to his face? It's no easy task. And Daniel wished this dream did not apply to the king. He wished that this applied to the king's enemies. And Nebuchadnezzar tells him, don't worry. Don't be troubled. Just tell me. Just explain this to me. You are the proud, tall, fruitful, beautiful, prominent tree that shelters birds and beasts. Bad news. I'm sure his eyes turned blue or red or something else. Sure, his head dropped. I'm the tree. You shall be cut down, driven out of your kingdom, and you're going to become like an animal till you realize that the Most High rules. Till you realize that heaven rules, Daniel said. Your kingdom shall be restored to you though. And Daniel gives him some advice. Perhaps it's not too late for you to repent and do acts of righteousness. Maybe this may not happen to you. Nebuchadnezzar had 12 months, a whole year, to do that. Aren't you amazed about the patience of God? One whole year, a lot of time, 365 days, just to say, I repent. I am proud. I need to be humble. God, please forgive me. 12 months pass by. He's walking the rooftop of his palace. Do you see what he says? He was walking about the royal palace of Babylon. And you see what he says? Is not this great Babylon that I've built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power and the honor of my majesty? Look at all the eyes and mys. Like I'm the man. I'm the king. I'm the one who has engineered all this. I'm the one who has funded all this. In the next second, he had lost his mind. Now, truth is, Babylon was the most spectacular cities of the ancient world. It had the famous hanging gardens. We don't even know how they look like. But it's a beautiful garden in the middle of a desert. I think the Arabs in United Arab Emirates have you seen those, the most beautiful flower garden in the world in the middle of a desert? In the British Museum, there are 6 columns of writings that are recovered from Babylon that describe the huge building project that Nebuchadnezzar had and his zeal to extend that to the whole world. So Nebuchadnezzar is proud not only of himself but of his achievements. He thinks of himself mighty and powerful. All of a sudden, he was afflicted with a form of insanity in which one thinks of himself an animal. In a biology, it's called boanthropy. You think of yourself an animal, and then you just start eating grass. And you can survive on it, by the way. Do you ever think about how, mad people survive on the street? They eat anything. They don't get sick. Do you ever wonder why? Partly because they have a mental disorder and somehow God just has a way of preserving them even when they are completely unhygienic. They are eating from the rubbish pit. He had the opportunity to humble himself, but he did not. And this is what he gets. He gets humiliated. Jewish tradition suggests that Daniel is the only one who nursed him. Everybody else ran away from him until he regained his mind. Only Daniel took care of Nebuchadnezzar for 7 years. Now we may think that he actually had reason to boast because he has achievements. Somebody said there are two types of pride. You can be prideful of all your achievements. You stand on your rooftop and look at the house that I've built. Look at the car that I have. Look at this education. You ever go to some offices and all somebody's accolades are displayed on the wall, and for a minute you're thinking, wow, did I ever go to school? And then there are those who are prideful, but they really have nothing. Do you know people who are like very small, but they're walking like this? Then like a mental disorder, like in their brain they're bigger, but in reality they're small. Both is pride. One is boastful of the achievements, the other is swelling beyond measure. In fact, someone defined pride as swelling, self-exaltation or preoccupation with self. I. In fact, then we get that word selfie. A manifestation of self. Self-preoccupation with self. I have done this, I have done that, I have done that. He for sure knows God has enabled him to do that. And if we ever have reason to boast, Paul says only in Christ. In fact, boasting in Christ is actually humility, because you know that for sure, much as you've been the tool of all that engineering, God gave you the ability. He gave you the brain, He gave you the health, He gave you the breath. A dictionary defines pride as an inwardly directed emotion that foolishly and irrationally corrupts one's sense of personal value, status, or accomplishments. That is actually an unchristian defining pride. Can you imagine? And he says it's foolish and irrational and corrupts your sense of value, who you think you are, or how much you think you're worth, status, you think you're above everybody else, or accomplishments. All that you've achieved. Now, pride is the greatest, and one person called it the original sin. Pride is the reason the beautiful angel Satan was cast out of heaven. And we find that in Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 to 15. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. For you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest side of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High God. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. Self-exaltation is the reason Satan fell. And this is the reason Adam fell. And when Satan fell, he comes to Adam and Eve and he says, you know what? God is unfair. He's hiding something from you. And if you eat of this fruit, you're going to be like God. Basically, Adam, you're really too small and you need to be bigger than that. And they believed the lie and Adam fell. And all of us in Adam. And we have this inherited sinful nature called pride. And that's the number one thing that all of us struggle with. Would you agree? Would you agree? That's a hard confession, right? Like, no, Pastor, me, I'm humble. All of us want to exalt ourselves beyond measure. All of us want to boast of all that we have accomplished. All of us are taught to be proud from the very day we're born. Be proud of yourself. Be proud of this and be proud of that and be proud of whatever it is. And then we grow up and it kills us. And it makes us stink. It corrupts us. Well, God can give us so much. He can use us so much. But is that license to boast about it? Truth is, you may be able to accomplish a lot. Now, some people look at it and you're thinking, wow, that is an overachiever right there. But do they have license to boast about it? in Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 to 17, these six things the Lord hates, yes, seven, are an abomination to him. And the first one is pride, a proud look. So I was actually looking for a picture of a proud look and I couldn't find one. Years ago, somebody told me I have a proud look. God hates pride. It is the very reason Satan fell. It's the very reason Adam fell. It's the very reason we fall. That's what Proverbs 16:18 says. Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Let's remember for sure, at the moment you start exalting yourself beyond measure, well, you've built the kingdom, so what? Can you build the whole world? I was recently reading about a Saudi king. He travels around with 1,500 people everywhere he goes, and about 15 tons of luggage. 15 tons of luggage. I mean, what is that? And this is happening in the Middle East, really, and it still happens today. I mean, look at those guys. They have like golden iPhones and silver cars. Quite a waste of time just to show off how rich they are. I mean, you're rich, so what? Right? It's yours, right? So you parade it in everybody's eyes. Ever see those guys who drive convertible cars and they drive slow and they're playing loud music? Like, everybody, please see me. Please see me. And we all have it. We all have it. We all want to be seen. That's why we go shopping for designer clothes. Who cares about who designed it? Right? Are you going to wear the price tag on it? Or may God teach us to be humble. And you know why God hates pride? Because he's humble. He owns the whole world, but never does he show off. Not once. The opposite of pride is humility. And humility, biblically, is being lowly. Not rising far from the ground. Somebody said it's just being yourself. You're nothing anyway. Just be yourself. Humility is a recognition of self in relation to God. And self-restraint from excessive vanity. Somebody define. That's actually a dictionary meaning. A definition of humility. It is look at yourself. Okay, fine. You have so much achievements. Or you actually have nothing. But look at yourself through the lens of God. How does God look at you? How does our most high majestic God look at you? Small. If you really want to know how small you are, stand beside Lake Victoria. Just stand there. If you really want to know how small you are, take a flight. Go and jump into a plane and go up in the air. You literally will not be able to differentiate a human being and a bird or and a tree. Like we get lost in there. All you see is almost like an artistic impression, just colors. Look at the majesty of God in creation. Makes me think of a guy who used to call himself Mahogany. Remember him? A former vice president. I don't know, where is he? He was cut down, wasn't he? In 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 to 6. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourself to your elders. Yes, all you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. We don't have to exalt ourselves. God will exalt us. Look around you. Every company says they are number one, right? Who ever says that they are number two? That person needs an award, right? Like for me, everybody else is number one, I'm number two. Everybody, I'm number one, I'm the best, we are the best in this and we are the best in that. And that's not true. Somebody needs to say, I am actually number three. We are in the slow group. We hope to improve someday. We need to submit not only to God, the Bible teaches, but to one another. And humility, biblically, is just being like our Father in heaven. Look at Jesus. in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 8, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bond servant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. In fact, the one test of humility is ask somebody to do something very simple, very lowly, and don't call them by their title. Can you please do for me this? Can you please make me a cup of tea? Can you please sweep the floor? And then they'll tell you how important they are. Don't you know me? How can you call me that? How can you ask me to do that? It's the very opposite of what Jesus demonstrated when he came. He stripped himself of all his majesty, his splendor, his glory. He left it behind and came and was born just like any one of us. He lived and played with everybody. This is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he finally, eventually, he reveals himself to be the Savior of the world, and everybody was like, what? In fact, the Roman soldiers on the cross would testify, this is truly the Son of God. He made himself low. And this is the very opposite of our modern day prophets and apostles and bishops. You can't tell who the bishop is, right? You walk in a room and you're like, yeah, that must be the one over there. Just look at how much time they spend on themselves dressing up. Look at their convoys. Look at their what? I mean, hear how they boast about their ministries and their powers and their gifts and their whatever it is. There's one recently I had live, he said, I am one of the richest men in Uganda. And that's on record, and I don't apologize for it. So what? Would Jesus do that? Did he ever parade his glory and beauty and majesty in our eyes? He washed our feet instead. He made us breakfast instead. He walked with us instead. And the great thing with humility is that we actually get to spend very little, right? We're not afraid of anything. We can just walk and nobody cares about how we conduct ourselves when we're humble, really. But the moment you exalt yourself, then you become a target to so much attention. And then you have to live expensively, actually. You have to hire guards and all these things. But the humble, they go around with so much simplicity and so much ease. And there's nothing beautiful than whether you have accomplishments or not, just remain lowly. Humble people are very attractive. Now, obviously, the proud will attract a lot of attention, right? People will want to associate with them. Nobody really wants to associate with the humble, right? You're humble, like nobody cares about you. But you're proud, you're exalted, you say pompous things. People are like, yeah, I want to take a picture with that guy. That's my bishop. That's my apostle. That's my pastor. That's my what? That's my prophet. But Jesus, our Lord and Savior, demonstrates humility by just being like one of us. Regardless of his splendor and majesty, he became obedient to the point of death. He even allowed us to crucify him. I mean, these prophets, you don't even go close to them because they're really wearing a white suit, so they don't want to get dirty. Jesus allowed us to crucify him. And when he revealed his majesty to us, all of us were awestruck. When he ascended to heaven, all these men were like, what? We have been messing around with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Do you watch those TV programs of bosses who disguise themselves as employees? They go undercover? And quite often they get mistreated by very low employees. Their own. They don't... I was told of a bank teller actually in Stanbic Bank, and I think the former MD went without an ID to the till. And he mishandled him. And everybody was like, don't you know that's the MD? He's like, I don't even know my MD, so. And they failed the test. And Nebuchadnezzar got a test of God's power. He thought he was really high. He got a test of humiliation from the Most High. He ate grass. This is the worst that can ever happen to you. Now, truth is, there is no one who self-exalts himself that will not be humiliated. Not one. Look around you. All these people who are boasting about who they are and their power, they are going to be cut off just like this tree. And all those who humble themselves and they know God is the only king. Remember the guy who thought himself the king of kings? Was flying into Kampala and there's a banner on Entebbe Road. Welcome the king of kings. Where is he? Then there was in the Congo the cock of cocks. These guys are interesting. They all get a taste of the Most High. And he declares to them that what? Heaven rules. And we do well to be like our master. Just be humble. Just be lowly. Don't be far off from the ground. We are his children. And we need to demonstrate his humility. Now, the danger with humility is being proud of your humility. I read a story of the person who was given the badge of the most humble person. Then they wore it. And they were disqualified. You can easily be proud of your humility. And we need to wake up daily to beat up this pride in us. Remember the lesson that Nebuchadnezzar learned. The Most High rules. And the moment you exalt yourself, you're dropped. The moment you humble yourself, God exalts you. Amen? Let's stand and pray. God, we do thank you so much for demonstrating humility to us, oh God. You came down and washed our feet and walked with us and wept with us and cried with us and touched us and comforted us and associated with us. But you didn't have to do that. But you did it because you love us. And Lord, you teach us to do the same, to be lowly. If there's anything we have to boast about, Lord, it's you. It's you who has enabled us to do. It's your power, your strength, your love upon us that makes us who we are and helps us to do everything else that you want us to do. Lord, we are small, you're big, you're magnificent, oh God. Lord, may we be clothed with simplicity, with humility, with lowliness, just like you. May we be clothed with righteousness. Lord, I pray that you burn away every inch of pride in us. Lord, may we live to honor you through every achievement you lead us through. Through every accomplishment, oh God. Lord, may you humiliate the prideful, oh God. May you exalt the humble. May we humble ourselves in your sight, that you may exalt us in due time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.